everybody else is in the 90s.
Five deaths are being blamed on the heat so far. Many cities have opened cooling centers and extended hours for public pools. Employment statistics for June are due out today. ADP predicts that businesses added 176,000 new jobs last month. FactSet is being more conservative and says the unemployment rate will remain at 8.2%. Another bad storm knocked out power in Tennessee last night. Some deaths are being reported in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Tens of thousands are without electricity. This is NBC News Radio. The president is back on the bus today, and Mitt Romney raises more again. Here's NBC's Scott Walterman with today's presidential election news.
President Obama heads to Pennsylvania on his two-day state swing that began in Ohio yesterday. And the GOP raised more money than the Democrats for the second month in a row, taking in $100 million in June.
U.S. music album sales are down overall this year, but digital album sales are up more than 13%. Nielsen SoundScan says more than 57 million digital albums have been sold so far this year. That's 38% of all album sales. And marine mammal specialists from across the country have descended on an Alaskan aquarium to help care for a baby beluga whale that became separated from its mother shortly after its birth. The male calf is under 24-hour care at Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward, being fed by a stomach tube while learning how to suckle from a bottle. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
When life gets hectic, there's still one thing that gives me plenty of comfort, my Serta mattress. And now, Sam's Club offers premium memory foam along with traditional innerspring mattresses for my perfect comfort choice.
Hurry in by July 8th while members receive special financing for 18 months on any Serta mattress purchase of $289 or more with a Sam's Club consumer credit card, subject to credit approval. See Club for details.
Be sure to ask about delivery and start resting easy before your mattress reaches home.
Sam's Club, savings made simple.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Think clean.
Another scratch on the historically Teflon-like reputation of J.P. Morgan Chase. As the giant bank deals with financial and PR fallout from its massive trading losses, legal problems over electricity are heating up. A judge has ordered J.P. to explain why it's withholding emails demanded by the Energy Regulatory Commission, which is looking into whether the company manipulated electricity markets in the Midwest and the West Coast. Claiming patent infringement, Apple has succeeded in keeping Samsung's newest Galaxy tablet off the market for the time being. But Samsung is still making strong inroads in the smartphone business. The Korean company says this quarter will be its best ever for operating profit, predicting almost $6 billion in the black. Stock markets across most of the globe holding slightly south of flat as traders everywhere look in our direction. This morning, the Labor Department releases its measure of June job creation. An increase of almost 100,000 jobs is expected. S&P futures down 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
It's summer. Time to breathe the open air and hit the open road on a three-wheeled Can-Am Spyder Roadster. For a limited time, you can own a Can-Am Roadster for as little as $199 a month. And if you buy before July 10, you'll get a special 4-year extended warranty. So hurry, certain conditions apply. See your local Can-Am dealer for details or visit canam.drp.com. It's riding reinvented.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yourgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yourgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power and Associates rank Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. And it's Friday, July 6, 2012. Friday already. Friday. It was nice to have that midweek break. And again, somebody suggested to me yesterday that we should have every Wednesday off. And who am I to disagree with that? First of all, profound apologies for those of you that turned in and expected to hear the show yesterday and got that. Yeah, that. What happened was the transmitter site was struck by lightning, ergo knocking us off the air for many hours. I'm still waiting for an apology. I guess it's not coming. But anyway, we apologize to you if it inconvenienced you. Some of you, of course, listened online, and I appreciate that as you were commenting throughout the show. Those of you that listen to terrestrial radio, which is the way most of you listen to the show, again, profound apologies. But we're back here today. We've got a pretty full show for you. And it's Friday, so that always portends good things. We will not be joined by Mitt Romney, so I've got the wrong sheet in front of me. Let's go to the real one. Keith Johnson, the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, will be with us to talk about the Roy Roberts imposed contracts on teachers and whether or not the Detroit public school workers will honor the Roy Roberts imposed contracts. The Reverend David Alexander Bullock will join us today. He unfortunately was traveling yesterday and because of the weather was delayed getting into Detroit, but he will be with us at 7:35 this morning to talk about the voter suppression bills that were vetoed by Governor Snyder and what that means. Of course, he represents Rainbow Push. Joe DeSano, who was full of just controversy last week, is bringing more controversy with him this week. And in fact, our conversation about young Cody Bailey, and that led us back to Glenn Anderson, has now caused Burt Johnson to say, wait a minute here, what's going on? We'll get to all that, I promise you. It'll be good theater today.
Very good theater today.
Oh! There you go. What the hell was that, a punch?
You don't remember that?
I don't. Is that from Anchorman 2?
No, that'd be awesome though, wouldn't it?
I guess I'm just here. Let me finish what I'm doing, and we'll come back to this. It's time to get it underway.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Resources. Listen, if you are an activist, if you are a human being, I mean, resources can be anything from, oh, I don't know, things on the spice rack to ingredients in the refrigerator to reading materials. Resources can be a variety of things, and we just need to be mindful that some resources are better than others. Some actually have expiration dates. I'll leave that alone. You'll figure that one out on your own. Resources are those things that we utilize to make us sound or look smarter. Resources are things that we utilize to get us from point A to point B. A map would be a resource. Sure it would. There are lots of things that are considered resources. Maybe we need to be more inclusive in our resources and not exclude anything from that list of resources. Resources are important. They we have natural resources. Oh, I could go on. I think you understand the point, though, right? Are you really utilizing the resources you already have in your life for the right reasons? I'm just asking the question. Because ultimately, it's all about resources, is it not? It truly is. Resources are critical to moving us along. And folks, the one thing we need to be mindful of, sometimes the resource is going to be a yard sign that says, vote for Jeff Radford, or one of our resources might be a sign that says, steal second base. Those are all resources. Let's just, eyes wide open. Folks, eyes wide open. It's my way of saying, pay attention. Resources is today's first word. Yay, first word. Yay.
Special message.
Oh, boy. Governor. Governor, governor.
Special message.
What happened to the one who used to be about the kids? It's about the kids. There we go. It's about the kids. It's about screwing over the kids. Just didn't.
Booyah!
Didn't say screwing over. But anyway, good morning, Jeffrey. You're having way too much fun with us. See, that's why Anthony sits there normally.
Oh, right. Yeah, he never plays drops.
Yes. And Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan just said Jeff's been dying to do that. And she was right.
She knows me too well.
Yeah, she does. She had some drama in her life yesterday. She had some trees fall down in her yard and forced her to abandon her domicile for a little while. Hopefully everything is going to get back to normal in her world. She's actually joining me on the Ed Schultz Show this afternoon. We're going to talk about instant activism, which we did on this very show just a couple weeks ago. And I thought, especially after the program we did yesterday, Jeffrey, that his audience might enjoy a little instant activism because they're pretty passionate activists to begin with. So we'll look forward to chatting with Christine a little bit later on, 12:20 today, Eastern Time, on the Ed Schultz Show. But today, for right now anyway, it's about first shift. And
Tony.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I really forgot about that one. Yeah, there is a reason why Anthony sits in that chair now. Anyway, with all that said, the Detroit Tigers win. And I got to tell you, when you see a headline that says, fielder homer wins it for Tigers, you say to yourself, that is a headline you would like to see more of because we've not seen it too often.
Yeah, it seems like he has been the leader, I would say, in maybe solo shots. And again, not his fault. You know, he can only come up and hit home runs when he can. But at the same time, you know, there's times when the guys have been on base, he hasn't done it. Anyway, point is it's a more important home run that he hit yesterday. But I mean, the home run aside, Miguel Cabrera is had two hits, and I know that the home run was a big deal, but I kind of feel like, okay, only the home runs get some attention. You know, like the night before, it was Cabrera's the hero. He had two home runs. Well, Fielder had a big home run, but Cabrera's been on fire lately.
Yeah, well, it's important that we ended up, by the way, splitting the series with the Twins, which we should have won. But we'll let it go for now. Just an important game yesterday. Now, what happened? Rick Porcello got knocked out of the game. He got hit by a pitch. Or hit by a ball?
I guess so.
Okay. Was that a precautionary move? I was looking at his stats, and I'm thinking 3 1/3 innings, but he'd thrown 77 pitches. That's a lot of pitches for 3 1/3 innings, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, even the other night, the game I went to, Dwayne Bielo, he had a quick hook on Bielo. Now, obviously, Porcello with different circumstances, but the guys that they've pulled up, I saw Downs, the guy who ended up taking the innings right after Porcello. I saw him the night before. And outside of the Mauer solo shot, he looked pretty good. I mean, yesterday filled in after Porcello pretty admirably. So You know, maybe they found some arms, and that'll be a preclusion to turning things around.
A preclusion to turning things around.
What, are you violently disagreeing with me?
That's funny. But a preclusion. I like that. Not sure where you pulled that out of, but I appreciate it. I did appreciate it.
I found it in a resource.
Okay. Who do the Tigers play this weekend?
Jeez. I'll have to look it up.
You'll want to get back to me on that. You'll have to look through your resources to find out.
Periodicals, yeah.
Your periodicals. Anyway, today's going to be one of those 25-cent word days. Let's just see how many 25-cent words we can use.
Eris, have you seen that new Red Stripe commercial?
No.
Where the guy is doing a business presentation and he uses a big word, and all of a sudden the Jamaican band comes marching through and they sing a song about how you should give him a raise because he's been using big words in his presentation.
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I'll have to keep an eye open. You're also telling me about a show that you're fond of called Auction Wars. What's it called?
Auction King.
Yeah, Auction King. I'm sorry.
Oh, what a great show. The Royals, by the way, the Tigers.
Ah, okay. Good. So they should have a decent weekend. I say should because they rarely, this season, have been beating the teams that they should be beating.
Well, the Royals are better than the Twins. But Auction Kings, great show.
I'd never even heard of it. You said it's on the Discovery Channel, right?
Yeah, there's like a lot of cool, crazy shows that I've gotten into that are on Discovery and History.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Swamp People?
I've heard of Swamp People. I've never seen it.
Swamp People is outstanding. They go, alligator hunt. They're crazy. These people are nuts.
Really?
They do some of the wildest stuff hunting alligators.
Okay. I guess I'm cheating myself out of...
Like I was telling you about Auction Kings, you learn they sneakily teach you things. Like, you know, you're just sitting there thinking you're watching an auction. Really, they're starting to tell you about... You know, history, Civil War stuff. And next thing you know, you've learned something.
Okay. Well, we wouldn't want to go accidentally learning something now, would we? Them are really using our resources, Jeff. We got to take our break. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Truppiano, glad to be back live with you on air today. Glad to be back on air today. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we're relatively trouble-free. We do have that one problem on the Southfield Freeway northbound at Schoolcraft, where you have a stalled vehicle that's blocking the left lane. And on 75 northbound between Lapeer and Baldwin, road construction has two lanes scheduled to be closed until 7 a.m. And don't forget about use caution when you see those non-working or malfunctioning traffic lights. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your First Shift Weather.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Again, feel free to join us. We are going to be open lines, as we are always are in the first hour. 888-552-3595. So Jeff sends me he sends me stuff every day. I've told you that. So he sends me this link, and it says, don't tell Janice Daniels because she might shut it down to save money. The headline is Community Center Available as Cooling Center in Extreme Heat. And it goes on to talk how the city of Troy is offering its community center as a cooling center for residents who may have a power outage or similar emergency or just need a place to cool off. But I don't necessarily disagree with you, Jeffrey. I think that, you know, Janice Daniels might have said, hey, wait a minute here. I know that we've got the air conditioning on anyway, but the more people that use it, the harder the air works. That's going to cost us money. We wouldn't want that now.
It's all about the bottom line with the Tea Party people.
And especially when it comes to money, it's all about money. Can't do that. Can't cool people off. And I'm not quite sure why you sent me this next one, but I'm going to throw it out there. There's no evidence of aquatic humanoids have ever been found. The National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, or whatever the hell they're called, has confirmed, Jeff, for those that were really concerned, that there are no such thing as aquatic humanoids or mermaids.
Thank goodness. They finally got down to it. I mean, we've all been on pins and needles waiting for this report to come out.
Here's the question, and it's a simple question. Why did they feel a need to even release that information? Why did they even write that statement? Are there people that really believe there are mermaids? I'm sure there are, but
I'm kind of shocked that there are somebody that was out there and thinking, okay, yeah, there's a race of half-human people living underwater.
Well, when I posted it to our Facebook page, I just said, well, there goes some fantasies.
I saw that. That was pretty funny.
Which I'm sure is true. We didn't get a whole lot of activity on that post, but... hey, it is what it is. I just, People might be disappointed. People might not care, but there are no such thing. There's no evidence that mermaids exist.
Even just saying that, the words coming out of your mouth, how disappointing, right?
I'm trying to remember, what was the name of that? Splash, the Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah movie, Splash, right? Where she's a mermaid and she actually ends up in his bathtub and she's got to use the hair dryer to dry. Once she's dry, she actually has legs. But if she's wet, she actually has fins. So, have you ever seen that movie, Splash?
Yeah, I've seen it.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. Anyway, yes, I've seen it. Pretty good.
I think we've hit on something here. You had a crush on Daryl Hannah, didn't you?
Only when she was 50 feet tall.
Oh, that was a good movie. Anyway, we'll move on. I assure you, folks, there's more serious stuff out there to talk about, and we're gonna move in that direction right now. Although, you know, again, yesterday I did the Ed Schultz show, so I had my show, which those of you, of course, that couldn't hear the show yesterday don't know, and I don't need to tell you, but I will anyway, that I was very late in getting up yesterday, which is the first time I literally got up with just enough time to basically get here and do the show. And then I had to do the Ed Schultz show yesterday, so it was a long day. There's no question that's true. So I'm not as current on some of this stuff as I'd like to be. So let me ask the question, Jeff. It says, Channel 7, you sent me some audio. Channel 7 or the state sues Detroit. I didn't know that the state was suing the city. I know the other way around was going on, but is there a particular reason why the state's suing the city, or do we need to listen to audio to find out?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's go.
This bill for nearly $5 million is at the center of a lawsuit filed by the state of Michigan against Detroit's water department. The bill dates back to 2010 and is for 27 months of water service at the old state fairground site in Detroit. In the lawsuit, state officials dispute the charge, saying the estimated use of water, about 737 million gallons, amounts to a, quote, swimming pool that is 50 feet wide, 10 feet deep, and 38 miles long. State officials say the water department has refused to provide documentation to support the, quote, exorbitant bill. The $4.8 million bill has added significance. It's one of the bills at the center of a different lawsuit. The city of Detroit's top lawyer, Crystal Crittenden, says the consent agreement between the city and the state is void because Detroit can't enter into contracts with entities that are in default to the city. And she points to the outstanding water bill as one of her pieces of evidence. Both sides declined to comment on the water bill today. A hearing date has not been set. In Detroit, Michael Rosenfield, 7 Action News.
Okay, so here's the visual I'm getting. 50 feet wide, 10 feet deep, and 38 miles long. That's one big freaking pool. I'm just saying, it's one big freaking pool. How do you let a $5 million water bill just kind of go like that? There's something about this that just isn't, like so many of the things between the city and the state, that's just not right. And who's been asleep at the wheel? That's the question. This is not just, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a Snyder thing. It's not just a Granholm thing. Everybody shares some responsibility in this. But I think that people are getting a little too aggressive and in the wrong way. And I still, you know, go back to this idea of president. The governor keeps on saying he wants to partner with the city. On what? On what? 888-552-3595. Theo in Detroit joins us now. Theo, good morning. Nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Happy Friday to you.
Thanks.
I wanted to share two things. One, I want to comment about the water lawsuit, and two, R.J. Watkins has been in broadcasting for 38 years, and he had a stroke last Father's Day, and he was blessed not to have any permanent serious damage, but we wanted to celebrate his birthday tomorrow, and that's in Highland Park, at 160 Victor Street. That's where the television station is located.
Okay.
And then it's from 11 to 7. There's no charge for the party. We just ask people, you know, bring a birthday card if you want to put a love offering in it for him. That would be good.
All right. Let me ask you to stay with us, Theo. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, we can talk about the lawsuit and the water bill and my confusion over how this even happens. Jeez, I don't get it. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, chat with Theo and any of you that would care to comment on what's going on in the world. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, let's head over to the northbound Southfield Freeway at Schoolcraft, where you have that disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. As of right now, no delays in that area because of the light traffic volumes. And on 75 northbound, between Lapeer and Baldwin, two lanes are scheduled to be closed until 7 a.m. this morning. And don't forget about those traffic lights. Use caution in those areas where they are malfunctioning or out. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Looking for a hot new way to pop? Introducing new Spicy Chicken McBites. Crispy, poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy kick. New Spicy Chicken McBites, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Question of the day. Should the people's property, by which I mean such basic public items as police vehicles, subway stations, and fire hydrants, be rented out as commercial billboards for hyping corporate products? Answer, of course not. But it's happening anyway. For example, after Littleton, Massachusetts made an Advertise with the Good Guys pitch, a supermarket chain bought ad space on the town's police cars. Philadelphia has rebranded its Patterson subway station as the AT&T station, even plastering the telecom giant's logo on each turnstile. And in Syracuse, the sheriff's office plans to adorn its rescue helicopters with ads. Who benefits from this crass commercialization of public spaces? Corporate sponsors, for sure. As one ad executive bluntly noted, we're always seeking another place for eyeballs to be looking at ads. And, of course, public agencies get a bit of extra cash from these sellout deals. But at what price? A sheriff's official in Syracuse admits that, quote, some people are a little put off by the idea that we're getting sponsorship for what used to be a government duty. Yes, count me as one of those people. AT&T, for example, didn't pay for that subway and has no right to treat it as its private billboard. Government officials rationalize this tacky yard sale as a way to get revenue without raising taxes. But that's just a political dodge. Providing adequate tax revenue for essential government services is their job. Gut it up instead of privatizing a piece of the public for a pittance of AT&T's self-promotion money. Tax AT&T. You'd get the same level of funding or more while protecting the public's trust in the integrity of public service. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more, go to Public Citizens Commercial Alert Project, commercialalert.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest?
Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, we will go right back to the phones as Theo was so kind to wait on hold as we had to take our break. Theo, thanks for waiting. You wanted to comment.
No problem.
On the lawsuit between the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit over the water bill, right?
I think that this is a tit for tat situation. It's interesting that the water department currently is controlled by three counties, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb representatives. It's an authority that's controlling it. But even though the city of Detroit may own the water department, it doesn't do any good to own something if you're not benefiting from the revenue that it generates.
Actually, Theo, is it my understanding that the water department is actually controlled by the courts and not the authority?
Well, they have these representatives who are making the decisions. The judge is not making the decisions at this time. So my curiosity has to do with how the money is being spent. I know that it's not going into the city's general fund. But what is so odd about it is the fact that it's under the control of this board that has been set up. And I also am told that the county commissioner, Oakland County, the alcoholic, what's his name, Oakland County?
Brooks Patterson.
Brooks Patterson, yeah, was his instrumental. You know, three drunk driving tickets should put you in jail, but he never seems to end up in jail. But anyway, he was instrumental in gaining control of the water department in the manner in which it's under control at this time. And it's also interesting that there was never a forensic audit. Now, we at Hood Research have been calling for a forensic audit in the of the city departments for quite some time, years to be exact. However, the water department was not given a forensic audit. They took over, and bills that used to come on a quarterly basis now come on a monthly basis, and the amount of money has not changed. Isn't that something?
You know, this is interesting, and Theo, I want to thank you for the call. I do appreciate it, and have a great weekend. I had somebody, Jeff, if you'll remember, I actually spoke many months ago about a woman that had contacted me about her mother's water bills and how they had gone from being, just to keep it simple, $100 a month to $1,500 a month. And when she questioned the city over it, she was basically told, well, it's, you know, it's your responsibility. There must be a problem with a running toilet or something. And so she had a plumber come to the house to check all of her faucets, cause she'd been living with her mother, all of her faucets, all of the toilets, and nothing was running nonstop. And the city refused to, issue her a refund, and I don't even know where this ended up. I know that she tried all kinds of things to get somebody's attention, I don't know where it ended up. I just don't know. She never did get back with me. I did mention it on the air because she said, would you, you know, be so kind as to mention it on the air? And if there's anybody else that's having this issue, you know, maybe we can do something together. And I did, and I don't recall if anybody reached out to me or not. I don't believe they did. But it just seems to me that there's, this is just indicative of ongoing, I don't want to say corruption, but maybe that's what it is. I just don't get it, Jeff. I really don't.
Now, exactly. I mean, ongoing corruption, and we've done, like you said, it seems like we've done this story a number of times.
Yeah, it's just it's unfortunate, and there's got to be a way to end the insanity that's going on here. Is it as simple as, hey, just, you know, wiping the slate clean and say, okay, let's start from scratch, but before we do that, let's agree to do blah blah blah. Is it hey, you know, you need to get whole with us, we need to get whole with you. I think you'd be really hard pressed to find a resident of the city of Detroit that would not believe that the state owes the city $224 million. And so most city residents would say, hey, you think you're owed $5 million? Well, take it out of the $224 you owe us. But this starts to get into the he said, she said kind of junior high games, which drives me a little nuts because it doesn't promote progress. Progress. Oh, my God. Progress. All right. Let's just move on for the sake of time today. It's something that I was going to talk about anyway. Might as well go there now. WDIV reports, as did both the News and the Free Press, that Manny Maroon and the Bridge Authority. Manny Maroon, by the way, owns the bridge. It's estimated that he is worth upwards of $1.5 billion. That's $1.5 billion spent just this year alone, almost $3.5 million, but total $9 million to stop the new bridge. This is the report from WDIV Channel 4.
Manny Maroon has been trying to prevent the governor from getting his new bridge. Well, the governor has signed the paperwork, but will he get the bridge? Much to talk about, but it looks like right now we know exactly how much he's spent so far.
So who pays? You do. Billions now, then $100 million. Every year.
You've seen the black and red bridge commercials repeatedly warning in no uncertain terms against the governor's new bridge. Over the past 2 years, Manny Maroon spending millions to do what he could to prevent it. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network waded through documents in Lansing and put out this breakdown of Maroon's spending. Last year, the Detroit International Bridge Company spent $6 million to prevent a legislative vote on a new bridge and, in fact, succeeded to that end. But when the governor did an end around the legislature, didn't ask for Michigan money, and instead signed a deal with the Canadian government for it to pick up $500 million in costs, allowing Michigan to qualify for federal matching funds, well, between Memorial Day and now, Maroon spent another $3.4 million campaigning against the new bridge. He also ran ads under the group People Should Decide, spending roughly $60,000 there.
This bridge is girded with hope and prosperity and thousands of new jobs.
Yet we also saw this commercial fairly regularly supporting the bridge. It's thought the building trades backed this ad, though the documents trace back to a Lansing law office. This campaign spent just over $250,000 this year.
Now, the research that was done shows that not only has Maroon spent, what, $9 million now on this, that he's getting ready to spend still more money on the campaign that is putting a question on the ballot in the fall as to whether there ought to be this bridge. So, still more money will be pouring into this long-lasting fight.
Now, at least some of the media is getting wealthy off of the fight. If you believe what Governor Snyder says, the new agreement with the Canadian government precludes whatever the Maroon family may be doing, quote-unquote, constitutionally, to mandate how the bridge will be built. According to the Maroon family, you know, it certainly does affect it. Again, here we go. I just want the bridge built. So what is it going to take? When is it going to start? These are the questions I have. I don't care about the bickering back and forth. You see, the Maroon family wants to control the bridge because they understand how much money there is to be made. I get that they're willing to put up the money to build it. I get that. We already see that the Canadian government's willing to put up the money to build it. I get that. I also understand that, you know, for the next 40 years, all the toll monies go to the Canadian government to repay the loan. I get that. I don't have a problem with it. And why don't I have a problem with it? Because the Maroon family will take all the money for the rest of their lives. All right, so we can go back and forth. Well, what happens at the end of 40 years? Then who's responsible and how do we pay for and blah, 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 and maintenance, and now it's tax dollars. You're right, legitimate questions which can easily be answered. But when are we going to build the freaking thing? How many more fights are we going to have? How many more legal delays? How many more years before we break ground on this new bridge? Will Governor Snyder be anything but a memory before we break ground on this new bridge? And if you don't think the Maroon family has the money to fight this a lot longer, oh, you are so wrong and think again. Between legal fees and their media campaign, they could do this forever. Do you understand what $1.5 billion gets you? And that's the kind of money that, you know, if you're only even investing a small part of it, you continue to build on that wealth. You do get that, right? Oh, and every time you cross the Ambassador Bridge, it now costs you $4.75 as opposed to $4. That's a pretty significant increase. And the Maroon family pockets every dime of that money every time anybody goes over the bridge. Okay, well, you know, it is what it is. Who am I to judge, right? Who the hell do I think I am to judge? I just want to create jobs. This will create thousands of them. So silly me just wants this to happen because it probably should anyway. We actually need another bridge. I still think the Maroon family will make plenty of money with the one that they have. You know, interestingly, people have very specific travel habits. And even though the bridge, the new bridge won't be that far from the old one, to get people to use it is not necessarily going to be automatic. Think about that as well. Yep, it's nothing simple about this. All right, we'll go national on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. It is going to be another scorcher today, so we need to be careful. Stay hydrated. All right, we'll take the break. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
This is Tanae Ramsey, former director of the City of Detroit Senior Citizens Department. Over the years, I have poured my heart and soul into the many wonderful events that I have hosted. That was to show you how much you were loved and appreciated. From the centenarian luncheons, health fair picnics, senior appreciation days, and visits to your buildings. I have been there with you and for you. Now I am asking you to be there with me in supporting U.S. Congressman Gary Peters in the 14th District. As U.S. Congressman, Gary Peters has stood by President Obama's side to pass the health care bill and to save the auto industry. And Gary Peters will stand by your side when you need him most. So when you get your absentee ballots in the mail, vote Gary Peters for the 14th District. This is Tanae Ramsey. Seniors, I have never led you wrong, and I won't be starting today.
I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you.
Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Jeff, how do you like that for timing? We both walked away from our studios, just chit-chatting away. Hey, how about this? We got to do that, blah, blah, blah.
It's an internal clock.
I mean, it's crazy. I sat down and was counting down. I had 3 seconds left. Bada boom, bada bing. And here we go. I had mentioned when I did Ed's show yesterday that I'm not a big fan of Ann Romney. And I'm not a big fan of Ann Romney. She seems a little rough around the edges. She made a statement yesterday that really didn't get as much traction as I thought it would because of the way, the language that she used. In fact, let me play what she said about the way she felt the Obama campaign was going after Mitt, and then we'll talk about it.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy. I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy. I feel like Mitt's got the answers to turn this country around. He's the one that's got to bring back hope for this country, which is what they ran on last time. But it's the truth is, this is the one that has the hope for America. Number one, they're not correct, and it makes you recognize that they are going to do everything they can to destroy Mitt. So, you know, they're trying to portray him in a light that is just completely wrong.
Why? Why is that?
Well, it's politics, as Mitt said. And, you know, I think early on we heard what their strategy was. It was kill Romney. And, you know, that was their memo that came out from their campaign. And it's like, not when I'm next to him, you better not.
All right. But I don't recall, I don't remember seeing a memo. I don't recall. I guess if somebody did a memo that said kill Romney, we would have seen it. We really would have. So Ann, you just need to inhale to do. I just find you unfortunate. Oh, it's not easy being her. I'm going to get myself in trouble, so I'm just going to keep quiet. But Ann Romney. It's a little rough around the edges. Jeff and I were listening to some audio this morning, and I said to him, they seem so joyless. There's nothing, there's no joy in the way they talk. There's no energy to them. There's no positivity. And I get that they're tired. I mean, being candidate is, and even the wife of a candidate is not easy. They are on go nonstop. I understand that. Now imagine running for the presidency and then being the president, and yet we don't, you know, hear the president having these issues. Not everybody is like Barack Obama. So, hey, we'll come back to Mitt Romney in a minute. We had mentioned during the show yesterday, Art Blackwell, who was the former emergency financial manager of Highland Park, had been accused of embezzling, then the charges were dropped, and now they are reinstated. And this is what Art Blackwell had to tell Fox 2 in defense of himself.
Well, that's a joke. First of all, they always made an issue of me paying myself. No check has ever been written by me or anybody in Highland Park that didn't have multiple signatures. By the time I get a check, it's already signed off by the CFO or the city treasurer. Well, I met with the governor and the new state treasurer after I'd been working a year for a dollar to remind them that, you know, I've been working 60 hours a week, and I only took work for no money because the previous emergency financial managers, you may not know this, worked for 4 years and made $1.6 million in salary for 4 years, and when they left, there was a $16 million deficit. I left 4 years later with a $2 million surplus, completely eliminating the deficit, and there's no way in the world that I would be paid for 10 months out of 4 years. It's ridiculous. They know it. The information's all in the report, and it's all going to be part of a trial if we ever get to trial.
Well, you know, Jeff, really, if you listen to him talk, it doesn't sound like what he did was that or did was bad at all, right? I mean, it sounds like he actually did a lot of good for Highland Park.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's his defense, so it seems really odd. He also said, look, I'm not the only one on these checks written to myself, you know, because he did basically write checks for him for his payment. But I guess they also had to be signed off by a bunch of other people.
Yes.
So it's not like it was a sneaky thing. I mean, they knew it. It was just, to me, it seems kind of, you know, he accepted the dollar salary for the first year. But then it was like almost with, you know, with the thought that in year two, you're gonna pay me more than what you, you know, basically after the end of 2 years, he was going to get 2 years of salary. It was just the first year is a dollar. The second year is going to be like, it's going to be double.
Now, and then I'm sure this will all be worked out in the courts. There's a reason why it was dropped. There's a reason why it was reinstated. It has to do with evidence. I don't know. We've got to be careful because legal proceedings are what they are. All right. As we discussed on the show yesterday, President Barack Obama began a bus tour, a two-day bus tour, which will take him to yesterday Ohio, today Pennsylvania. Tim Pawlenty and current Governor Jindal of Louisiana decided to hit the road in Ohio as well. Tim Pawlenty always reminds me of, I'm trying to think of who he might remind me of. A little bit of Gomer Pyle, and I don't mean that in a go away kind of way, just a little bit of the Gomer Pyle naivete, although I don't know that he's necessarily naive. He just, you know, he's a very conservative guy. I just get the impression that he would not be the right kind of VP for Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney's got somebody pushing his buttons. And so he couldn't really have a VP because I don't see Mitt Romney as being the kind of guy that would know how to push somebody else's buttons. I just don't see him being that kind of leader. I could be wrong. Anyway, President Obama's bus tour started yesterday. This is what WXYZ Channel 7 had to say about the tour.
Today it is all about grassroots events and ice cream socials. The president is getting out of Washington, D.C. and trying to get some face time with voters in Ohio because it's clear he knows how important it is to win the state in November.
It's campaign season.
This marks the president's seventh visit to Ohio this year and his first official bus tour. It comes just 3 weeks after Romney took a bus tour of his own through the Midwest.
The country is betting on you, Ohio.
Clearly aware of his audience, the president focused on his efforts to improve the auto and manufacturing industries.
Governor Romney said we should just let Detroit go bankrupt. I refuse to turn my back on communities like this one. I was betting on the American worker.
According to CNN's electoral map, Ohio is a toss-up state. A June Quinnipiac poll showed Obama led 47-38%. Also working in the president's favor, the state unemployment rate is pointing downward.
His presidency has been a losing hand for Ohio and for America.
But Team Romney isn't letting the president off that easy. The campaign sent Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal and former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty to shadow the president and offer a rebuttal.
Here in Ohio, over 40,000 fewer jobs than when he took office. Average income gone down $3,000. The list goes on and on and on, but the bottom line is this. We've had enough of broken promises.
And tomorrow it is off to Pennsylvania for the president on this bus tour. That's another toss-up state in the November election. Also tomorrow, the June unemployment numbers will come down, and no doubt that will be driving the discussion.
And let's just leave it at this. When the June numbers come out, we see that we've created well over 170,000 jobs in the private sector. It'd be kind of hard to spin that one. We'll be back to take this top of the hour break.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, let's head over to the northbound Southfield Freeway at Schoolcraft, where you have that disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. As of right now, no delays in that area because of the light traffic volumes. And on 75 northbound between Lapeer and Baldwin, two lanes are scheduled to be closed until 7 a.m. this morning. And don't forget about those traffic lights. Use caution in those areas where they are malfunctioning or out. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
East, as another triple-digit day bakes the nation's midsection, NBC's Dan Sheneman says the Corn Belt has been hit hard by the heat wave.
The government reports the nation's corn crop is in its worst shape in more than 20 years. Prices are up 35% in just the last 3 weeks.
Stifling heat expected to break this weekend in the heartland while the east sizzles into the next week before catching a break. High today in Washington, D.C., 101. The government reports employment stats for June this morning, and private forecasters are a little more optimistic after the economy's poor showings in April and May. Payroll provider ADP predicts businesses added 176,000 jobs last month. And politics, we love it, right? Wrong. A Pew Research poll shows many Americans are bored to tears. Nearly 6 in 10 say the presidential campaign is too long and too dull, and they predict an exhausting and annoying fight to Election Day. This is NBC News Radio. The economy takes center stage in the presidential race today, although former Democratic Chairman Howard Dean says this morning's jobs numbers are not the main issue for Republican hopeful Mitt Romney.
This is not what's going to determine the election. Right now, the biggest problem that Mitt Romney has is most people don't think that he cares about ordinary people in America, and he's got to overcome that battle before we get onto the jobless numbers.
President Obama continues his bus tour of Ohio and Pennsylvania while the Romney camp goes on a voter blitz, calling tomorrow Super Saturday in the swing states. Authorities may try to raise a 34-foot motor yacht that capsized on the 4th of July in New York's Long Island Sound, killing 3 children. 27 were aboard, nearly twice the recommended capacity. And the American dream, more affordable than ever, as mortgage rates fall to new record lows, 3.62% for a 30-year loan. That's the lowest since the 1950s. Good news for the housing industry. We're buying. Sales and prices are picking up. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Instant messaging. Instant coffee. Instant hair removal. The world is gone instant. So why does it take so long for your hotel points to add up before you get any rewards? At America's Best Value Inn, there is no waiting. Sign up for our free value club at any of our 1,000 hotels in North America or at americasbestvalueinn.com and enjoy an instant 15% discount, room upgrade, and late checkout when available. We've got you covered with more value, more comfort, and instant rewards.
Do you suffer from a magnesium deficiency?
My doctor told me I needed more magnesium, so he recommended I use Magox 400.
You're not alone. Millions of Americans don't get enough magnesium in their daily diet. Magnesium is a critical nutrient that helps you convert carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. Doctor recommended Magox 400 is made with the most concentrated form of magnesium available, and each dose of Magox 400 provides all the magnesium you need each day.
Magox 400's magnificent.
Try Magox 400, the magnificent magnesium supplement.
Stock markets in Europe and stock futures in the U.S. are holding in mild negative territory and likely will do so until markets get their marching orders. That happens in about an hour and a half from now when the government releases its measure of June job creation and unemployment. Even with the expectations of some slightly raised following yesterday's better-than-predicted reading of June private employment from ADP, a gain of 90 to 100,000 jobs overall is expected from this morning's report, which would cap off the weakest quarter for job growth in 2 years. Ahead of all that, S&P futures are down 2 points, NASDAQ futures off 3, Dow futures down 20. A big real estate company is getting aggressive in one of the most expensive addresses in the world. Vornado Realty Trust has plunked down $707 million to buy a piece of Fifth Avenue, specifically 666 in Manhattan. To pay for the big purchase, Vornado is selling properties in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
It's summer. Time to breathe the open air and hit the open road on a three-wheeled Can-Am Spyder Roadster. For a limited time, you can own a Can-Am Roadster for as little as $199 a month. And if you buy before July 10, you'll get a special 4-year extended warranty. So hurry, certain conditions apply. See your local Can-Am dealer for details or visit canam.brp.com. It's riding reinvented. GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
When life gets hectic, there's still one thing that gives me plenty of comfort. My Serta mattress. And now, Sam's Club offers premium memory foam along with traditional innerspring mattresses for my perfect comfort choice.
Hurry in by July 8th while members receive special financing for 18 months on any Serta mattress purchase of $289 or more with the Sam's Club Consumer Credit Card. Subject to credit approval. See Club for details.
Be sure to ask about delivery and start resting easy before your mattress reaches home.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome. It's 6 minutes, going on 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, Friday, July 6, 2012. My, how time flies when we are having fun. I said this last hour, for those of you just joining us, my apologies to you if you tuned in yesterday or went to tune in yesterday and there was nothing there. Our transmitter was struck by lightning, temporarily forcing us off air. By the time all of the knobs were turned back to where they belonged to and pennies put in behind fuses and all that other good stuff, well, they got back on air, but we were long gone by then. In fact, long gone enough that we weren't back on till noon when I did the Ed Schultz show, but it is what it is, and we will make the best of it. But I wanted to apologize. I'm still waiting for an apology, but I wanted to make sure you got one, and you did. So we'll go with that. I hope you're all well. We're actually in wait on our guests, so we're going to just kind of move on in the meantime. And if you'd like to join us for any reason, if you've got something on your mind, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. We have lots that we can talk about and will talk about in this hour. And hopefully we're going to have at least one guest. So we're hoping to have the Reverend David Alexander Bullock on at 7:50. That was right, 7:50, right, Jeff? 7:50, okay. So then he's going to talk about the voter suppression bills that the governor vetoed, which we're still quite happy about, although a little confused. I refuse, folks, to get too gushy about that. And some of you had issues with that, and I don't know why. This man's not moderate. He's not. The governor's not a moderate. He's a right-wing conservative whack job. He just happened to, on one issue, do the right thing, and I applaud that leadership, but That's about as far as I can go with it. Truly, it's about as far as I can go with it. So, anyway, Mitt Romney, Jeff has this little thing. What is it? I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever. How does that go, Jeff?
Whatever bounces off me sticks to you.
There you go. So that's Jeff's Mitt Romney mantra. And because every time Mitt Romney does something, he says, in fact, Mitt Romney back in 2010 praised Obamacare. But now that the Supreme Court says, and that's that. Let's have that conversation just very briefly. It's not that the Supreme Court said that the mandate was a tax. John Roberts, a Supreme Court justice, said that the mandate was a tax. Ergo, it becomes a tax because one judge says it. And so now they're throwing this, especially Mitt Romney, throwing it at the feet of President Barack Obama and saying, but you promised us, damn it, you promised there'd be no taxes on the middle class. Well, first of all, we need to be mindful that it's not a tax, it's a penalty. Let me explain to you how the penalty works. If you don't buy insurance in the first year, you are penalized $75 on your taxes, on your tax return. With each passing year that you don't buy it, your penalty goes up. But it's only if you don't buy it. And most of us either will have it already provided for us through an employer, or we will be buying it on our own. Now, let's talk about the health exchange, which the state of Michigan is in the process of perhaps losing up to $10 million for not having it ready, because there are penalties for these things as well. The federal government's not messing around. They're trying to make health care through the Affordable Care Act more transparent, more accessible. And basically what the health exchange will do is, I'm just going to keep it simple. Let's say that there are three insurers. You're going to be able to go to a website that's going to say insure A, B, and C. This is what they provide. This is what it costs. This is what your benefit is. Now you decide which one you want to buy. Pretty simple, right? It's called choice. And we know how Republicans hate choice. Bad joke. I'm just saying, it's not that difficult to comprehend this. And so as we played some audio on the show yesterday from Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett, call it what you want, but we just insured 33 million Americans that weren't insured before. How bad can that be? Somebody actually called the Ed Schultz show yesterday and said that we didn't need the health care. We didn't need the Affordable Care Act. And that the stimulus would have been better spent by giving that money to the American people. And actually what he said was, each American should get $1 million to spend as they see fit. Now he said, I'm not saying write a check to each American for $1 million. It would be more of a tab, you know, an account that you'd be able to tap into and you could spend up to $1 million, that would stimulate the economy, and that would have been the better way to do this. But what would have happened once that money was gone, and how do you think American businesses would have responded knowing that, let's say, a family of nine had $9 million to spend? How much fraud and corruption do you think that would have caused? And then I actually had people that emailed me and criticized me for cutting the guy off. Well, first of all, I was up against a break and had to. And I was top of the hour break. And Ed's top of the hour breaks are, you've got like 30 or 45 seconds, so you can't talk to a caller, and then you go to a break. But, you know, let's not talk about the reality. I don't get it. I don't understand why you defend your Republicanism so vehemently, or is that violently? I don't. That's a Mitt Romney reference. In fact, we can play that audio. Well, we'll wait till after the break. Actually, no, we can do it right now. Which one does he say that in, the first one or the second one, Jeff? Do you remember? Oh, it's the first one. All right, it's only 21 seconds long. We can get to it. Go ahead and play that.
Well, I certainly wouldn't nominate someone who I knew was going to come out with a decision I violently disagreed with, or vehemently rather disagreed with, and he reached a conclusion I think that was not accurate and not an appropriate conclusion. But that being said, he's a very bright person, and I look for individuals that have intelligence and believe in following the Constitution.
He is Chief Justice John Roberts, who he violently, I mean vehemently, disagrees with. I'll let him go. I will let him go on that. I'm sure it was a Freudian slip. I'm just saying.
What do you think he does to people he violently disagrees with? We, like, put him in a cage and tie him on top of the roof?
I'm not sure. Well, there is that. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know what the Mormon mantra is on violence. I really don't know how they exact revenge. I don't. I just don't know how the Mormon church sees that. I don't know if it's, you know, like other Christians and you turn the other cheek. I'm really not sure.
So we know he's severely conservative and violently disagrees with people.
Right. Hey, listen, a quick question. Do you think it's a little odd that his religion has not become a major story in this election cycle?
No, actually, I mean, didn't I think the Obama administration said early on that they...
Well, yeah, that's David Axelrod was very clear on that, but that doesn't stop the media from doing it. I'm just saying, do you find it a little odd that, you know, his Mormonism has not become a much larger issue than it has?
I think it's odd because he actually is Mormon, and there's, I mean, that's it. He is Mormon, right?
Yeah.
But the bigger story is, you know, the last couple of years, in fact, has been Obama's Muslimism, I guess.
Which he's not.
Which he's not, right. So he, you know, one candidate actually is a certain religion. Well, I guess, and you know, Obama certainly is Christian as well, so he does have a religion.
Yeah, but there are some that say that Mormonism is not Christianity, Jeff.
I don't know that much about it.
Well, I'm just saying, that's one of the knocks on Mormonism is that, you know, Joseph Smith was, you know, some consider him a prophet, but many don't. I don't know that Catholicism or Pentecostalism or other religions consider Joseph Smith a prophet. I don't know that they recognize him as being part of the under the Christian umbrella is all I'm saying.
Well, and if that's true, then here you got you have a whole party then that so violently disagrees with Obama as president that they suddenly will, you know, compromise their own beliefs.
This is really one of the odder. And when we come back, we'll talk about this. This is one of the odder political campaigns ever. And let me just throw this out at you real quick, and then we'll come back and discuss this. But stop and for a moment and think. The economy's not doing great. Any other president would have to wear that in a little more dramatic way. Why is Mitt Romney not running away with this thing, as most people think he should be? Just a simple question. 888-552-3595. If you are still on holiday, I hope you're enjoying yours. We've got a lot of show to give to you today. Don't forget Joe DeSano coming up in the next hour, and that's always worth hanging around for. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break and be right back.
Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to the Southfield Freeway northbound at Schoolcraft, where you have that disabled vehicle. It's still blocking your left lane, but no reported delays as of yet. Also, 7 Mile at Van Dyke, at Woodward, and at Farmington, traffic lights are either out or malfunctioning. Of course, you want to use caution there and treat those as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your First Shift Weather.
I'm Marge Havel, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was
near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, President of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, President of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line, fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
My guest, he is Brad Woodhouse, Communications Director of the Democratic National Committee.
He has run into Americans all across this bus tour that don't want any part of his plans for the economy, what we call Romney economics. And there's a famous, famous incident in Pennsylvania where he was scheduled to make a stop. And he didn't even go there because he didn't want to confront Americans that, that disagree with him. And, that's not President Obama. You've seen him. He's, often been willing to talk to Americans who disagree with him. Mitt Romney doesn't want to confront the fact that his policies are wrong for middle class America.
On 1310 WDTW.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. Hope you've got a nice weekend planned. I will be headed to Wyandotte tomorrow for their annual picnic at Bishop Park. I believe it's at Bishop Park. That's where I'm headed. If they're not there, then frankly, I'll just take off. But I'm sure they'll be there. The heat isn't supposed to stop its intensity until Sunday, and then we'll have a couple days in the mid-80s before we head back to 90 degrees. It's summer, folks, and this is what you get in the summer. President Obama actually said that yesterday. So let's just throw this out there for a moment. Let's have a discussion about this. Let's have an honest discussion about this. You have a president, as we do, who is not the favorite of some people. There's no question that's true. We have an economy that's still sluggish. Now, we can talk about why that is, but it doesn't matter. We still have an economy that's sluggish. You and I could talk about 27 straight months of job growth, but hold on a minute. The economy still isn't as good as we'd like it to be, and we know that. So you got to throw that on the president. Whether you want to or not, that's what happens in political times. So that's what we do. We throw that on the president. So you stop and think, okay, well, we're not creating the kind of jobs we'd like to be. The economy's not rebounding the way it needs to be. People really don't pay attention to foreign policy. So no matter that this president has been absolutely brilliant with foreign policy for the most part, we're going to ignore that because, again, Americans just don't really do a good job of paying attention to foreign policy. With all that said, you would think that Mitt Romney would be running away with this thing, right? And he's not. Statistically, Obama's winning, but he's within the margin of error in most parts of the country. And then those parts of the countries where he's beyond the margin of error, you would expect him to win. Just as Mitt Romney's winning in certain parts of the country where you would expect him to win. So again, it begs the question, is this something that Barack Obama is doing or something that Mitt Romney isn't doing? Is this something Barack Obama is or is this something that Mitt Romney isn't? Are you following me? Are you feeling that? So stop and think for a moment about how, frankly, odd this is, because it is a bit odd. You would almost expect that, and maybe it's even a miracle that the election, according to the polls, is as close as it is at this point. I had mentioned during Ed's show yesterday, and certainly it's a reference that most of you will understand and remember. Dick DeVos, when he ran for governor against Jennifer Granholm in her second term, started spending serious money on media over a year before the election. He knew that he needed to work on name recognition, and sure enough, he went out there and really did a lot of advertising. But he had the money, and a lot of it was his own personal cash. He could write a check. He could self-fund a campaign. Not that he didn't go out and raise money. He did. But he didn't need it. He could write the whole thing off himself. He could. It was not a big deal. Financially, it was not a big deal. And we know that the polls told us that this was a close race, right? Lots of Democrats very nervous governor wouldn't be reelected. And, of course, the economy was bad. She, you know, under her leadership, lots of jobs went away. Doesn't matter why it was. Most people don't look at that and go, well, but it's George W. Bush's fault, which it was. Democrats were thinking that. Republicans, not so much. And so what happened? What happened in that race? We know that Jennifer Granholm, of course, was reelected. But what we didn't expect, because the polling numbers told us that the race was so close, it didn't end up being close at all. Jennifer Granholm mopped the floor with Dick DeVos and all his money. Now, there's a great lesson in that, but the get-out-the-vote effort that year, which was 2006, was critical, which is why we need to make sure that the get-out-the-vote this year in 2012 is critical. I don't know. It just, There's that part, you know, we have this conversation, talked to Kevin Moore about this yesterday, because it's really confusing and a little bit distressing, isn't it? Where you say, you know, what is it going to take to wake people up? Why are more people not seeing the reality? How can anybody ever even think of voting for Mitt Romney? My wife and I went out to dinner last Saturday, and as we were leaving the restaurant, somebody had a Mitt Romney bumper sticker on their piece of crap car, and it was a piece of crap car. And I'm thinking, really, why? Why? And I said to her, you know, if they were out in the car right now or near the car, or getting out of the car, getting into the car, I would actually stop and ask them, why are you supporting Mitt Romney? You would not. Oh, I would. I would. I've been known to do it before, and I will do it again. I would have done it Saturday had they been around, but I had no clue who they were, and the restaurant was pretty full. I would have liked to know why. Why is it that you can barely afford to drive this piece of crap car that you have placed a Romney bumper sticker? I thought maybe they were trying to hide a little bit of rust. That would have made sense. They would have needed a lot of them to get rid of a lot of rust. But yeah, the vehicle was that torn up. And, you know, that's that old question. How many times have we had it on this show? Why do people vote against their own best interest? I don't know. I mean, we've got our theories, right? We could go on and on all day about those theories, but I don't know. And then the question I've been getting this year is, there's no way an auto worker would ever vote for Mitt Romney, right? I mean, they do understand that he said, let Detroit go bankrupt. They do know that he didn't mean the city of Detroit. He meant the auto companies. There's no way that an auto worker would still vote for Mitt Romney, is there? Yeah, there is. Yes, there is. We have work to do. You see, if you think that people are just going to pay attention like you do and vote appropriately, which for you and I, appropriately is Barack Obama, that's great, but it's not true. I'm sorry, it's not. I want it to be, but it's not. There are people that will vote for Mitt Romney that work in a factory. I don't know why. They will think to themselves, well, it's someday I'm going to be in that situation where I'm going to want those tax cuts. I'll be, and this isn't even about the top 1%, it's about the top 20%. One day I'll be in the top 20%. Therefore, I'll be able to enjoy the benefits of republicanism in all its dysfunctional form. Now, that is true. You can. Ugh, do you want to? I'm thinking some of you do. I'm thinking a lot of you don't. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Stay with us. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. This is for a shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to Van Dyke northbound at 7 Mile, where that's closed. That's due to an accident and traffic is being diverted onto 7 Mile. And be aware that the traffic lights are also out at the intersection of 7 Mile and Van Dyke. Also, we have railroad crossing signals that are flashing red with no train in sight. That's at Livernois north of Joy Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. New York City's Utility Workers Union of America, Local 1-2, met Thursday with Con Ed in talks aimed at ending Con Ed's lockout of 8,500 workers. Local 1-2's John Melia says by locking out skilled and trained workers who maintain the electric power grid, Con Ed is endangering millions of people in New York in this heat wave.
They minimize the risk, and we're here to tell you there are parts of New York City that are underserved, that are antiquated, that are holding on by a lick and a prayer, and if they continue to lock out their workers, their professional trained workers, New York City residents, and the people of Westchester County are in grave danger.
A federal mediator is trying to help the union and the company settle their issues. Con Ed tried to force the union to take concessions, including a phase-out of pensions and reduced health benefits, and then locked out the workers when their labor contract expired.
They want to bust this union. They don't want a middle class in America. All they want is workers to respond to the needs and the whims of the plutocrats. And all our union is seeking is a fair contract, you know, fair benefits for a fair day's work.
Thousands of workers marched in Los Angeles in the biggest ever demonstration against Walmart and its policies. Joe Hansen, president of the UFCW, said the demands are clear. Walmart must provide a living wage, quality health care, and uphold workers' rights. Workers were joined in the Los Angeles march by faith leaders, as well as community and civil rights groups and activists. The Obama administration filed a trade complaint against China Thursday over new tariffs and import duties against American cars and trucks. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says the Obama administration will continue to fight to ensure China doesn't misuse trade laws to block U.S. goods. Kirk says auto workers and U.S. manufacturers deserve a level trade playing field. The trade charge against China comes as President Obama is on a campaign bus tour called Betting on America in Ohio and Pennsylvania. The unemployed may finally start seeing some job openings as the year comes to a close. Jesse Russell reports.
According to a study by CareerBuilder, 44% of employers have said they plan to start adding full-time jobs in the last half of 2012. That's an increase from 35% in 2011. Some of the jobs employers will be seeking to fill will be in customer service, information technologies, sales, and marketing. Social media will also likely be a popular new job opening as many employers start embracing the web for customer outreach and business expansion. The study also showed that workers who are currently employed are feeling more secure about leaving jobs. 27% said they're considering seeking new job opportunities as the year comes to a close. If the businesses follow through with job creation plans, it could benefit President Barack Obama, who is seeking re-election in November.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
I knew that we were that show. Even before he said it, I knew that. June unemployment, applications down. So that's good. We'll get the numbers a little later on. Looking forward, well, maybe not looking forward to that. So here's the question. Vanity Fair does an expose on Mitt Romney and basically says, as an investor, Mitt Romney actually bet against the American dollar. He bet on its weakness. He bet, especially during the George Bush years, that America would fail. And as a result of that, he gained handsomely from that. And am I the only one that's offended by that? Am I the only one that's offended by that? Am I the only one that continues to be offended by a guy that it could care less about transparency, that has Swiss bank accounts? We've never had a candidate for the presidency that's had Swiss bank accounts, foreign bank accounts. Yet Mitt Romney does. He claims that this is all in a blind trust, and I have no reason not to believe it. In fact, those journalists that have vetted his finances say that what he's done is not illegal and not even immoral. It may not even be unethical, just unusual. And that, you know, if most people, and I think, I hate to say this, I think most Americans are not very bright people, so they don't understand when you say, well, he has Swiss bank accounts. They don't understand the seriousness of that. When I say he bets against the American dollar, they don't know what that means. So they go, oh, is that bad? Well, why? Why is it bad? They just don't get it. And so they don't pay attention, and then they don't care. And then they vote for him anyway. And I really believe that's part of the problem. We still don't know what Mitt Romney's really worth. We still haven't seen all of the tax returns that would give us an indication of what we're getting. Yet nobody seems to care. If this were Barack Obama that were saying, no, I don't really want to give you my tax returns, and I'm really not going to play the game properly, and, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just not going to do it your way, but, hey, vote for me anyway, okay? People would be screaming.
Just think if he bet against the dollar. If Obama bet against the dollar. Terrorist.
That non-Muslim Muslim. That's that Barack Obama's that non-Muslim Muslim. All right. Congressman Joe Walsh of the Chicago area. He's in the Chicago area, right, Jeff?
Yeah, Illinois.
I think that we basically know him as a deadbeat dad, right? That's how I know him.
Unfortunately, that's how his kids know him as well.
Yeah. And for those that don't understand the reference, he and his wife divorced or separated, but I think they divorced, and he owes child support, yet he refuses to pay it, and he keeps taking his ex-wife to court. And who suffers in that? Oh, that's right, his children. He's not the smoothest guy in the world, no question.
That's why he's worried about Obama becoming having another term as president. He doesn't want to have all this debt onto his kids' shoulders, yeah. Even though he won't give them any of his money.
All right, here's the deal. Folks, here's the deal. He's running against Tammy Duckworth, who I met 2004, 2005. She's an Iraq war vet, double amputee, really great progressive candidate. In fact, way back in the day when Rahm Emanuel was a member of Congress, he really backed her in a big way. She almost won back in 2000 in a special election, I think back in 2005. Maybe it was 2004. Well, she's running for Congress again against Joe Walsh. And, well, only Joe Walsh can do Joe Walsh. I don't even want to pretend. So let's listen to the first of two. And this first one, he talks about Joe Walsh, that is, Congressman Joe Walsh, talks about what true heroes really are.
But understand something about John McCain. His political advisors, day after day, had to take him and almost throw him against the wall and hit him against the head and say, Senator, you have to let people know you served. You have to talk about what you did. He wouldn't want to, he didn't want to do it. Wouldn't do it. Day after day, they had to convince him. And finally, he talked a little bit about it. But it was very uncomfortable for him. That's what's so noble about our heroes. Now, I'm running against a woman who, I mean, my God, that's all she talks about. Our true heroes, the men and women who served us, it's the last thing in the world they talk about. That's why we are so indebted and in awe of what they have done.
Really? That's the last thing in the world they talk about is their service to their country? I don't think so, Joe. I don't think so at all. Then he goes on CNN and talks to Ashley Banfield and gets maybe a little too aggressive with her. This is the exchange.
Look, at every, you know, those comments were made a week ago at a two-hour town hall with 400 people talking about Obamacare. And like I do at the beginning of every one of my town halls, I introduce the heroes in our presence, the veterans. Look, I'm not going to back down, Ashley, from anything.
Are you saying it's just a slip up because you're
talking to the public a lot? No, Ashley, this wasn't a slip up. I don't regret anything I said. Understand me. Every man and woman who's worn the uniform is a hero in my book. I've said that thousands of times. I've called Tammy Duckworth a hero hundreds of times. This is a manufactured issue because when I'm out there, hey, look, this is the lay of the land out there now. When I'm out there, I'm being taped by Tammy Duckworth's people. Ashley, before just reading all about her talking points and being there for her, give me a second to talk, all right? She spends a lot of time talking about her war service. I've asked her to debate me monthly. She won't. I've asked her to get directly in front of voters with me. She won't. She will not get in front of voters and take questions directly from voters. Because she's a war hero, Ashley, that demands our respect. But that doesn't demand our vote. What demands our vote is when you tell us, here's who I am, here's who I
said. It is not respectful.
What's not respectful,
Ashley?
Ashley. You ready? She was on TV a month and a half ago. She was asked a question about gay marriage. Do you know what she talked about? Her time at Walter Reed. Look, I'll say it again. I have respect for her and her service. My thoughts and prayers go out to her like they do every wounded warrior. But that doesn't demand our vote. Ashley, if that's what it took to get your vote, John McCain, another hero, would be our president.
Well, Tammy
Duckworth, who I have personally talked to, is a fine American, a fine soldier, and, yeah, lost both her legs. That's something that people want to know about. You need to understand that. Let me tell you a quick story. When I ran for Congress back in 2006, one of the people that was very supportive of my campaign was former Senator Max Cleland, who was a double amputee as well. Actually, it was a multiple amputee, more than just a double. And incredibly, I'm sorry, I get a little emotional thinking about Senator Cleland. He's just, I'm sorry. I have a real hard time when people pick on those that have been radically injured while serving their country. You have to understand how anti-war I was during the Bush years. To see thousands of Americans die and to see thousands more injured, like Tammy Duckworth, to know that we literally massacred millions of people in the Middle East because of George Bush and Dick Cheney's needing to quench their financial thirst. This is all about money. It's about Halliburton. It's about lots of different things. It was not about democracy. It was not about protecting that image on the Hill or whatever the hell you want to call it. If Tammy Duckworth wants to talk about nothing else but losing her legs, let her. It is disrespectful for Joe Walsh to do what he did. Jeff just tells me the Huffington Post says that during that interview, Joe Walsh said Ashley 90 times. 90 times, and I don't question that. Jeff and I have played lots of Joe Walsh audio on the show. Does he still have his YouTube channel where he likes to go on there and verbally masturbate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he sits on his desk with a little Cavassier or whatever. And
right.
Just talks to the American people.
His desk side chats. It's disgusting. I mean, this guy's the worst kind of teabagger that there is.
I loved his justification, though. It's like, I speak all the time. You're eventually going to catch me on tape saying something dumb.
Well, you know, isn't this kind of a reality of political theater that when you're out and giving, you know, and you don't think that they don't send people to Tammy Duckworth's public events and tape those, Jeff? You don't think that's happening? Of course it is. Of course it's happening. It's political theater. You know, it kind of goes back to this little thing with this dweeb Cody Bailey that we talked about, that we're going to probably talk about again today for a while. Welcome to politics. Now, I didn't even tell everybody what happened behind the scenes, and I'm not going to. I'm just saying. Folks, this is politics. Joe Walsh needs to grow up. And he can't. He can't disrespect somebody's service no matter what he believes. He made the one reference. She was asked about gay marriage, and she talked about her time at Walter Reed. I don't know what that reference is all about. But I'll bet you what she talked about is probably meeting somebody gay at Walter Reed and how they talked to her about how they couldn't be genuinely who they are. Well, those days, thankfully, are behind us. Joe Walsh, shame on you. Shame on you indeed.
Thanks to Obama, by the way, that they're behind us.
Absolutely. All right, a quick break here. When we come back, the Reverend David Alexander Bullock from Rainbow Push. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is Tanae Ramsey, former director of the City of Detroit Senior Citizens Department. Over the years, I have poured my heart and soul into the many wonderful events that I have hosted. That was to show you how much you were loved and appreciated. From the centenarian luncheons, health fair picnics, senior appreciation days, and visits to your buildings. I have been there with you and for you. Now I am asking you to be there with me in supporting U.S. Congressman Gary Peters in the 14th District. As U.S. Congressman, Gary Peters has stood by President Obama's side to pass the health care bill and to save the auto industry. And Gary Peters will stand by your side when you need him most. So when you get your absentee ballots in the mail, vote Gary Peters for the 14th District. This is Tanae Ramsey. Seniors, I have never led you wrong, and I won't be starting today.
I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trigiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First shift on 1310WDTW with Tony Trigiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I am happy to say he is safely back in Detroit. That didn't come as a surprise to me when we were waiting for the Reverend Pastor David Alexander Bullock to join us yesterday when we found out he was traveling, that he had been delayed coming back to Detroit. Was happy, actually, to hear he had been delayed. It meant he was safe somewhere else and certainly arrived safe here. Joining us now, representing the Rainbow Push Michigan, which is an affiliate of the Rainbow Push Coalition, is the Reverend Pastor David Alexander Bullock. Pastor, a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
Tony, it's always a pleasure to hear you and to be on the show. Thank you so much.
It's my honor, and blessings that you are safely back. I would imagine your travels yesterday were a bit trying with the weather being as difficult as it was.
Well, you know what, Tony? I'm telling you, I'm so appreciative for airplanes and that kind of technology, but it's always a bit scary, you know, when it's extremely hot and the storm begins to rage, and you just want to make sure that you get on the ground safely. So I'm so happy to be back in Detroit and to be here safely. And happy to be on the show today.
And happy to actually comment on the right thing being done by Governor Rick Snyder. I'm not so sure that you and I were ever going to have that conversation, but here we are. Those words are coming out of my mouth. Governor Snyder did the right thing with a series of bills that certainly would have affected communities of color in the state of Michigan, because we know that these voter suppression bills affect minorities more than anybody, Reverend Bullock.
That's right. You know, Tony, it's amazing. Governor Snyder got it right. I never imagined that I would be saying that on any radio show, but I'm so happy to be saying it. He got it right. He vetoed the most draconian parts of the bill package, and so now we don't have to worry about voter registration changing in a crazy way, online training courses, felonies for filling out paperwork wrongly, poll tax, extra ID, these barriers that will obviously affect seniors and students and African Americans and other minorities in Michigan. So now Michigan becomes the head of the class, so to speak, in the nation, the only state with a Republican governor who's vetoed these kinds of bills, and so the rest of the country can look to Michigan to see what needs to be done. So, yeah, I'm so happy that we're saying that today. Unfortunately, Tony, it was a partial victory in the sense that the Referendum for Public Act 4, the voter suspension, so we won voter suppression, but we still haven't won voter suspension. The Referendum for Public Act 4 has not made it on the ballot, and I wanted to say that so badly. I'm so happy I had a chance to come on today to say that, because many people believe that somehow the Referendum for Public Act 4 is on the ballot for November. But I must say that it's not on the ballot for November. And so we need Governor Snyder, we need the Secretary of State, we need the Board of Canvassers, the Court of Appeals, somebody who has the authority to do that, to make sure that Michigan citizens get a chance to vote on the fate of emergency management in Michigan as well, so we can root out the twin evils of voter suppression and voter suspension.
Well, and now that we know the State Board of Canvassers, and again, Governor Steiner just appointed another Republican, which is what he had to do, was appoint another Republican, but it didn't have to be this particular Republican. As we find out, she is far more white right-wing radical than the last one ever was, and he was pretty bad to begin with. And so as we look at the reality, well, we know the Board of Canvassers has spoken, and they, of course, have said, no, let the courts decide. We know the courts have said, well, you know what, we're willing to decide this, but we're also willing to delay it. I think what's happened is the conservatives got this victory. Maybe it ends up, and I don't know, Reverend Bullock, if it does end up on the ballot, but the thing that they have successfully done is delayed recessing Public Act 4, which means it will stay in effect much longer than we wanted it to. And I was one of those people that signed that petition. I wanted it to stop, and unfortunately, it doesn't. Look what Roy Roberts just did to the school teachers in the city of Detroit. Public Act 4 must go away.
That's right. It must stop. You know, we all signed it thinking that at least, you know, it would immediately suspend Public Act 4 once we got the signatures. Of course, that didn't happen. You're exactly right. Now it's in limbo. And so we're fighting diligently. My concern is that we don't get so excited about the veto this week that we miss the full victory next week. I mean, we must really, really fight vigilantly and push on the Secretary of State, the Board of Canvassers, Governor Snyder. They have the authority. The governor can make this happen. Can make sure that the referendum gets on the ballot, that the 206,000 citizens who signed and not disenfranchised, because voter suspension is just as bad as voter suppression. And so while Michigan, you know, while Governor Snyder got it right, Michigan went to the head of the class this week, we're still in this tug of war, and you only lose in the tug of war when you let go of the rope. So we got to keep on pulling and pushing.
Well, I think that was beautifully said, number one. Number two, there's no question that I've been cautioning this audience since the governor did make that veto that, yes, we do want to give him credit for doing the right thing, and we've done that. But we also need to be cautious. We need to be mindful. We need to be wide awake. We need to continue to put pressure on this man now that we know that there is some reason in him. Because, Reverend Bullock, let's be honest about it. Until that veto, we didn't know that there was reason in this governor. He's actually shown us nothing to this point. Everything this extreme Republican legislature has put in front of him, he has signed.
You know what? We did not know that this governor was reasonable. But I tell you what, Tony, now we've seen something different. And I think, not only do we know that maybe Governor Rick Snyder is reasonable, can think some of these things through inside on the side of right, but I also think it was our activism. We raised our voices. We fought voter suppression. We took vans and buses to Lansing. We marched on his house on Dr. King Day. Over 3,000 people went there to say happy Dr. King Day, Governor Snyder. I think, you know, you got the Occupy movement occupying all around the state. I think it's not just that Governor Snyder is reasonable, but it's also our activism. It's raising our voices. I mean, when we fight back, we win. And as we go into July and then August, the primary time, November, general election time, we really got to make sure folks are registered. I'm so happy about what you're doing on your website. We got to make sure folks are registered. We got to make sure folks are educated, mobilized, animated, that people vote and are engaged, and we've got to make sure that these key ballot initiatives like Protect Our Jobs and like the referendum against PA4 are there so that people can exercise their rights as citizens to shape the world that we live in. We've got to remember 85% of the laws we live under are enacted on the state level, and so this year is not just about President Barack Obama. As Al Sharpton said, it's about your mama, but I understand his point. Not just about the presidential election. It's about the state rep.
Absolutely. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. The Reverend Pastor David Alexander Bullock from Rainbow Push, Michigan, thank you for being with us. We will, of course, visit again. A victory now, but not a victory forever. We've got work to do. Thank you so much. We'll take the break. We will be back with Joe DeSano on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to Van Dyke northbound at 7 Mile, where that's closed. That's due to an accident and traffic is being diverted onto 7 Mile. And be aware that the traffic lights are also out at the intersection of 7 Mile and Van Dyke. Also, we have railroad crossing signals that are flashing red with no train in sight. That's at Livernois north of Joy Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikuláczewski. It's the economy and big numbers coming this hour on jobs and the unemployment rate. CNBC's Maria Bartiromo.
And while expectations have come down quite a bit, maybe the numbers today beat the expectations, broadly speaking, we're looking at a tough situation. Companies are uncertain. They do not want to put new heads to the payroll.
ADP predicts the private sector created 176,000 jobs last month. Wall Street not optimistic, though. Stock futures point to a lower open. Strong storms barreling through parts of four states have killed at least two people in Tennessee's Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Authorities may try to raise a 34-foot motor yacht that capsized on the 4th of July in New York's Long Island Sound, killing three children. 27 were aboard, nearly twice the recommended capacity. And cola for breakfast? Three fast food chains are promoting soft drinks on morning menus, even as health officials link sugary drinks to obesity. Are we listening? Fat chance. Soft drink servings up 3%. This is NBC News Radio. Stifling heat is spreading east as another triple-digit day bakes the nation's midsection. NBC's John Yang.
This morning, officials here in Chicago are investigating a possible third heat-related death. Meanwhile, forecasters are saying in a couple of more days, it'll be 20 degrees cooler.
To the east, though, no break until next week. High temp in D.C. today, 101 degrees. Meantime, record heat down on the farm is taking a big toll. Government estimates predicting the worst corn crop in 20 years. Prices up 35%. The Facebook about face continues on Wall Street, with share prices down 18% from its mid-May IPO price. Industry analysts say the botched IPO has created a drag effect for the rest of the industry. And the Frog Prince isn't just a fairy tale. A rare Ecuadorian frog has been named for Britain's Prince Charles to honor the prince for his conservation work. The croaker's official moniker, Hulloscurtis Prince Charlesy. I'm Jim Mikuláczewski, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactive heals acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing dark spot corrector just for participating. Call 1-800-214-9671. That's 1-800-214-9671.
The final days are closing in on the O'Reilly Auto Parts Summer Gas Giveaway. This will be your last chance to win free gas for an entire year. Don't wait any longer. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts before July 10th and get your game card to play online before all the prizes are gone. O'Reilly Auto Parts. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com/giveaway for official rules and details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Stock futures are moving like an unmanned canoe on a still pond, and that's understandable. Markets are waiting for the news that's coming in a little more than a half hour from now, June employment and unemployment. Markets could move depending on whether the job numbers come in above, below, or spot on, with predictions of almost 100,000 new jobs added to the economy last month. Right now, S&P and NASDAQ futures each are losing 2 points. Dow futures down 6. Moving more aggressively are oil futures, down $2 to just over $85 a barrel in early electronic trades. Some macroeconomy watchers are getting worried. Worrisome is the exact word used by a director at the International Monetary Fund describing the global economy, especially business conditions in Europe, China, India, Brazil, and the United States. Stock markets in Europe are mildly lower, with one exception, Spain's main index falling 1.5% amid fresh concern about that government's ever-rising debt burden. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
It's summer. Time to breathe the open air and hit the open road on a three-wheeled Can-Am Spyder Roadster. For a limited time, you can own a Can-Am Roadster for as little as $199 a month. And if you buy before July 10, you'll get a special 4-year extended warranty. So hurry, certain conditions apply. See your local Can-Am dealer for details or visit canam.brp.com. It's riding reinvented.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
When life gets hectic, there's still one thing that gives me plenty of comfort, my Serta mattress. And now, Sam's Club offers premium memory foam along with traditional innerspring mattresses for my perfect comfort choice.
Hurry in by July 8th while members receive special financing for 18 months on any Serta mattress purchase of $289 or more with a Sam's Club consumer credit card, subject to credit approval. See Club for details.
Be sure to ask about delivery and start resting easy before your mattress reaches home.
Sam's Club, savings made simple.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's time for that guy that joins us on Friday. And I think that we've got a new slogan for the show. We don't just report the news, we make it. That's right. We're going to... You know what? Let's just do this. Let's just go to our intro and talk to the God himself.
With his razor-sharp precision.
First Shift welcomes back
Michigan's most informed political insider.
You don't even know where to start. To belabor the cowboy point, it's the wild Midwest out there. I just take such joy in watching the far-right wingers go spastic over this. Because really, I think it is sound public policy. And, you know, there's the old cliche of the stock clock because you even write twice a day.
Partner in Main Street Strategies,
Mr. Joe DeSana.
He's back! Hello, Joe.
My man.
How are you, buddy?
Well, I've never been called a god before.
You are. You are a god.
I don't know. I don't know. I could be a false idol.
Well, you know, we'll let the audience decide that on their own, but I do like the slogan, we don't just report the news, we make it, because we actually did last week.
Well, and hopefully we can make some more, because I don't want to let go of this subject. I think it's too important to let lie.
Well, we're not going to, like, in fact, where would you, because we've got some big stories this. I mean, we've got some really big stories from a former attorney general to a soon-to-be former congressman to some fighting within, I guess, Democratic infighting between Burt Johnson and Glenn Anderson. I mean, where would you like to begin, Joe?
Well, let's start with the Burt Johnson, Glenn Anderson thing, because it does involve the show tangentially, because we were pretty much the first public airing of grievances about the Cody Bailey campaign and some of the, you know, his shadowy conservative past and his kind of ham-handed attempts to cover it up.
Yeah, let me just briefly, but before you do that, let me briefly just mention two things. Number one, everything we said last week was based in truth and fact. So I have no concerns about what we said. Number two, yeah, some people reached out to me and said, hey, Tony, you're being a little unfair to Glenn Anderson. And Glenn has, I've seen Glenn a couple dozen times in the last 5 months. I've invited him on this show many times. Joe, he needs to reach out to me, not the other way around.
Well, yeah, what's interesting is when we talked about this on the show last week, it was up in the air if Glenn was really behind this campaign. In fact, I went out of my way to give him the benefit of the doubt. But clearly that is the benefit of the doubt was not necessary, because he's wholeheartedly behind this kid. And now it's become an issue in the congressional campaign that Glenn's involved in, because his colleague in the state Senate and competitor for the congressional seat they're both vying for, Burt Johnson, has called him out, called Glenn out, for his support of Cody Bailey and his shadowy conservative agenda.
Well, let me, you know, you had sent me some information earlier this week, actually, from a group called ABC, and I had posted to the Facebook page, and he had his aunts and his uncles and his cousins go on there and beat me up. You know, they thought they were beating me up. I let them do it. I actually had better things to do. I was preparing for the 4th of July holiday. But the fact remains that they were bragging about an endorsement from a right-wing organization that is actually anti-union. And so you've got to call people out for that. Joe, you can't just let that go, can you?
Here's the thing. First of all, we need to understand who ABC is, okay? They're the guys who want to break unions so they can pay you $8 an hour and then replace you with a undocumented immigrant for $5 an hour. And then they're going to replace that guy with another undocumented immigrant from, say, somewhere like Albania, that'll work for $4 an hour. This is a race to the bottom. Cody Bailey has wrapped his arms around this endorsement. At the same time, he's trying to tell us he's not a Republican. It is an incredible mixed message. He scrubbed his Facebook page of the post touting the endorsement. If he's really a Democrat, he will publicly repudiate this endorsement, not just tuck it away and hide it in the closet. He needs to come out and say, I don't support ABC. I don't support and apologize for using non-union printers. I think he publicly needs to do that. I think he needs to prove he's a Democrat. And I think repudiating ABC and everything they stand for is a pretty darn good way to go about it.
Well, and listen, and I've said this on the show a thousand times. I'll say it again. I'm not a journalist. I'm an activist with a microphone. But let me play journalist for just a second, Joe, and ask you a question that I think is a fair question. You know, we did everything we said last week was based in truth, and you know, we can talk about him not
and the Bailey campaign even threatened us with legal action.
Yes, they did. Apparently,
how immature is that?
Well, apparently there are a bunch of lawyers that listen to this show that are just waiting for us to say something so that they can sue us, Joe, because that was what they insinuated.
Please sue us. Sue me. MainStreetStrategies.net. You can get the address. Send the summons. Send the lawsuit to me. Please, I beg you, sue me. This would be the most fun discovery in the history of the world.
I'm with you. I'm with you. So I'll be journalistic for a moment. I'll just be objective and say, you know what, you know, this idea that we don't want, we, that would be you and I, don't want moderate Democrats in the Democratic Party. For me, I'm just going to answer for me. I'll let you know. I don't want moderates in the Democratic Party. But I don't consider Cody Bailey a moderate. I consider him a Republican. But I do not want moderates, Joe. So your answer to that, would you? Why don't you want moderates in the Democratic Party? Or do you want moderates, Joe?
Well, I think in many cases they're necessary to win some of these marginal seats. You know, where parties are split 50-50 in a lot of these competitive seats, I think you sometimes need a moderate. I'm looking for people of character, though, most of all. And I've seen very little character from the Cody Bailey campaign, so I think he's disqualified for having a lack of character, regardless of what his political positions are. But then when you delve into the political positions he has, there's nothing moderate in there. You know, if he could point to an event that was his epiphany, I might take him seriously. If he had worked for moderate Republicans in the past, I might take him seriously. But Mitt Romney isn't Joe Schwartz. Mitt Romney isn't even someone like a John Huntsman, someone who's a milquetoast moderate. He went right for the far right guy, and he's very comfortable there. And he's decided, hey, I think I'm going to cover all that up and dupe people into thinking they're getting something and voting for something that they're really not. There's moderates don't hang out with Mitt Romney. In 2008, 2012, no, sorry, you're not a moderate. But, and by the way, moderates don't support ABC either.
Thank you. By the way, I've invited him and his campaign manager legitimately on the show, and they're welcome on any time, and I'll offer and extend that invitation to them. I'll ask them the same questions I asked David Kinesic when he was with me on Monday when Harvey Santana was with me, State Representative Santana. I have not heard from the Cody Bailey campaign. Those of you that are going to say, well, why would he come on? Look at the way you're talking about him. No, this is politics. If this 21-year-old young man wants to play the game, as I said, if you can't run with the big dogs, pal, stay on the porch. It's that simple.
Well, here's the thing. He's one of these kids you see in politics that's so enamored with public office that he thinks kids like this, and I say kid because this is stunningly immature on his behalf, the way he's behaved during this campaign. These kids, you know, are wrapped up in this idea of power for power's sake. And it's not about that. It's about ideals. It's about issues. For me, it's about making sure that the middle class is protected from people like Cody Bailey. You know, and that's what goes back to the character I was talking about earlier. There is a character deficiency in this kid that he either needs to grow out of or get out of politics.
Fair enough. We're going to take a break, Joe. When we come back, one of the things that, and we'll talk again about this skirmish, if you will, between Senators Burt Johnson and Glenn Anderson. And the legitimacy of it. Do you feel that that Burt and or Glenn's position is justified? And then we'll move on. We've got a lot to get to. Again, there are a lot of big stories. And if you haven't heard the Thad McCotter one yet, you really want to stay tuned for that, because it is absolutely surreal would be a word that comes to mind. Joe DeSano, my guest. He is a partner with Main Street Strategies. Feel free to call us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. We'll take a quick break here on First Shift, and we'll continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trivio.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to the Southfield Freeway northbound just before Grand River, where you have an accident that has your left lane blocked, and it has heavy traffic from Plymouth. A car has hit a wall, and there are also reports of debris in the center lane. Van Dyke northbound at 7 Mile. The intersection is closed due to an accident. Traffic is being diverted to 7 Mile. Also, the traffic lights are out in that intersection as they are in other areas of Metro Detroit, so always use caution as you approach. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
This is Tanae Ramsey, former director of the City of Detroit Senior Citizens Department. Over the years, I have poured my heart and soul into the many wonderful events that I have hosted. That was to show you how much you were loved and appreciated. From the centenarian luncheons, health fair picnics, senior appreciation days, and visits to your buildings. I have been there with you and for you. Now I am asking you to be there with me in supporting U.S. Congressman Gary Peters in the 14th District. As U.S. Congressman, Gary Peters has stood by President Obama's side to pass the health care bill and to save the auto industry. And Gary Peters will stand by your side when you need him most. So when you get your absentee ballots in the mail, vote Gary Peters for the 14th District. This is Tanae Ramsey. Seniors, I have never led you wrong, and I won't be starting today.
I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh,
and the doctors
yes.
are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Welcome back indeed. Joe DeSano, my guest at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on a holiday week. Joe, hope you had a nice 4th of July, by the way, and pleasure to have you back on the show today. Let's go back quickly to talk a little bit about Senators Burt Johnson and Glenn Anderson. Now, again, this is a political race. They've got a tough race. John Conyers is in this race, and this is the 13th congressional district, by the way. Chanel Jackson in this race, although she's been fairly quiet. She's in there, and, you know, this really is very much about the August 7th primary. We can pretty much feel satisfied, Joe, that whoever comes out of that primary is going to be the congressperson from the 13th congressional district. Is this back and forth between Glenn and Burt unusual?
Well, I don't think it's unusual. My personal feeling is I'm not sure that it helps really either of them. I think most observers realize that this thing's going to come down probably to Glenn Anderson versus John Conyers. So Burt's got to find a way to catapult past Glenn,
And I'm not sure how this does that, because it's just, from what I can tell, a press release. It's not, you know, not backed up by any paid campaign effort that I've seen. And I think at this point, just releasing a press release and hoping to cause a little press skirmish, it's you need bigger cannons than that this late in the game. And I don't see how this helps Bert catapult past Glenn.
Yeah, nor do I. And while it's all very interesting, I needless to say, when I got to the part of the press release that referenced our discussion on the show last week, it did raise my eyebrows. I was a little surprised. I don't mind telling you.
Well, you know, it's good for the show.
It is good for the show.
He's listening right now.
I'm sure the Cody Bailey camp is listening right now. Once again, you're welcome to join us anytime. Or as I said on Facebook, if you'd like to man up and join us, I guess that would require a man. That's all I'm saying. Joe, Frank Kelly, at one time the champion of the people. Frank Kelly, a guy that a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, have had a lot of respect for. A tough attorney general. Certainly, if we were to go back and look at his record, lots of things that we would be proud of. Maybe some stuff we wouldn't be, but what's he up to these days?
Well, you know, here's part of the problem. People are confusing the Frank Kelly with the Attorney General with the Frank Kelly now, who's a paid shill, okay? He's the co-founder of a lobbying firm. And yesterday, something really disturbing happened. Frank Kelly had a guest editorial in the Detroit Free Press that took the 25 by 25 campaign to task. Now, the 25 by 25 campaign is to expand the renewable energy portfolio here in the state through green energy. And it's being fought tooth and nail by DTE, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the usual folks, okay? And what wasn't disclosed initially in the Free Press was that Frank Kelly's firm is on the payroll of DTE. And when confronted with this, the Free Press did the right thing and made an addendum to the column online. I didn't see today's paper to know if it made it in print or not. I would hope it would. But basically, I'm going to give the Free Press a free pass here, because they're also enamored by the gravitas that a former attorney general who was revered for his integrity brought to the table. Okay? His appearing on their editorial page, I think, is prestigious for them. If it's the old Frank Kelly, if it's the show Frank Kelly, which this was, that needs to be disclosed. Frankly, the burden's on him to tell the people at the Free Press that this is the case, and clearly he didn't. And it's not the first time he's done this either.
All right, there was a letter, and I just, let me read part of it, Joe. It says, the other day the Free published an op-ed piece from Bill Schuette that was a thinly veiled call to the teabaggers to whip themselves into a tri-corner hated dungeon, and it goes on to talk about this. But here's, it talks about a lot, but here's the part that caught my attention. It says, at the end, there are two taglines, usually one suffices. And it said, Frank Kelly served as Michigan's Attorney General from 1961 to 1998 and is co-founder of the Lansing-based advocacy firm. Since when are lobbying firms called advocacy firms, Joe?
When you're embarrassed to call yourself a lobbyist.
I mean, you know, who is Cawthorn? It says Kelly Cawthorn. So, I mean, but advocacy firm? I read that and I actually laughed out loud. Advocacy firm. Well, isn't that sweet? Frank Luntz has come to Michigan.
Yeah, that's probably a good analogy. But I'm just disappointed with Mr. Kelly's decision as a lobbyist to support the corporate side of this instead of the people, like when he was an AG.
Mm.
He should just be upfront with folks and tell them he's not Frank Kelly the AG. He's Frank Kelly, the paid political spokesman. I mean, the next angle is he's going to be trading on, he'll be appearing on late night TV shilling reverse mortgages.
There has been some repercussions of this. There are, especially amongst activists, who are not very happy with his position. There, you know, and this is not the only, by the way, this is 25 by 25 initiative is not the only thing that he has opposed. In fact, I understand that, you know, the man of the people, that Frank Kelly is also the same Frank Kelly that supported eliminating, you know, prices on products throughout the state of Michigan,
right.
In
and
fact,
I,
costing lots of jobs here in the state.
And I alluded to that a second ago when I said this is not the first time he did this. His company is on the payroll of Walmart. So lo and behold, you've got Frank Kelly, the titan of consumer protection in this state. There probably wasn't much consumer protection before Frank Kelly. And the item pricing standard was the hallmark of his career. That was the greatest achievement in his career, I think most observers will agree. Now, lo and behold, now that he's a paid political spokesman, he's cashing the Walmart check. He comes out in public, doesn't disclose that he's on Walmart's payroll, comes out and tells people it's time to revisit the item pricing bill. And this is heralded in the media as the honest straight shooter Frank Kelly saying it's time for the item pricing bill to go.
Mm-hmm.
And obscuring the fact he was a paid political spokesman.
Well, obviously, what I was referencing and what I was reading from, by the way, a little earlier before we go to the break, was a post on Michigan Liberal and our friend Eric B., who wrote that. People are paying attention, Joe. We need to take a break, but we'll come back. We'll finish up our thoughts on this, talk a little bit about Thad McCotter, and I can't say that with a straight face. I can't wait to hear what Joe has to say about this whole Thad McCotter thing. I purposely didn't link it this morning on Facebook, and you'll understand why in a minute. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to the Southfield Freeway northbound just before Grand River, where you have an accident that has your left lane blocked and it has heavy traffic from Plymouth. A car has hit a wall, and there are also reports of debris in the center lane. Van Dyke northbound at 7 Mile, the intersection is closed due to an accident. Traffic is being diverted to 7 Mile. Also, the traffic lights are out in that intersection as they are in other areas of Metro Detroit, so always use caution as you approach. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your First Shift weather.
Question of the day. Should the people's property, by which I mean such basic public items as police vehicles, subway stations, and fire hydrants, be rented out as commercial billboards for hyping corporate products? Answer, of course not. But it's happening anyway. For example, after Littleton, Massachusetts made an Advertise with the Good Guys pitch, a supermarket chain bought ad space on the town's police cars. Philadelphia has rebranded its Patterson subway station as the AT&T station, even plastering the telecom giant's logo on each turnstile. And in Syracuse, the sheriff's office plans to adorn its rescue helicopters with ads. Who benefits from this crass commercialization of public spaces? Corporate sponsors, for sure. As one ad executive bluntly noted, we're always seeking another place for eyeballs to be looking at ads. And, of course, public agencies get a bit of extra cash from these sellout deals. But at what price? A sheriff's official in Syracuse admits that, quote, some people are a little put off by the idea that we're getting sponsorship for what used to be a government duty. Yes, count me as one of those people. AT&T, for example, didn't pay for that subway and has no right to treat it as its private billboard. Government officials rationalize this tacky yard sale as a way to get revenue without raising taxes. But that's just a political dodge. Providing adequate tax revenue for essential government services is their job. Gut it up instead of privatizing a piece of the public for a pittance of AT&T's self-promotion money. Tax AT&T. You'd get the same level of funding or more while protecting the public's trust in the integrity of public service. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more, go to Public Citizens Commercial Alert Project, commercialalert.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Joe DeSano with us, of course, a partner in Main Street Strategies, a political consulting firm. I do want to recommend that you go watch something. I posted it to the Facebook page early this morning. Joe was a guest on Off the Record, which will air today, correct, Joe?
Yeah, it'll air tonight and over the weekend on your public television stations.
There you go.
For Channel 56 in Detroit.
And I have not had a chance to watch it yet. Is it on? It is online already, though.
It is online, yeah. You just go into that Google machine that you have on your desk and type in Off the Record in YouTube, and it's the July 6th edition. It's up. And 1 second, let me explain. It is a almost 50% of the show is Anchor Bay High School graduates, because the other liberal on the show is an Anchor Bay High School graduate like myself, Mr. Zach Stanton,
the
New Baltimore City Councilman.
Ah, very good. I'm just asking, not that I don't think you blog, but why are you always on the blogger edition?
I don't know. I think it's just a place where they can slot me in on the show. I guess they count the Politibomb podcast as blogging.
Well, that is actually a blog. So, yeah. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah,
no, that
I
would
guess.
Make sense. No, I get that.
Politibomb up, too. So go to politibomb.com and you can download yesterday's show.
All right. Very quickly, I just want to go back to something you said earlier. I've been a little hard on the free press, but even my friend Stephen Henderson, who is with us on a weekly basis, you said you are going to give them a pass because you understand why they might be a little enamored. You were being sarcastic there, right?
I don't think Frank Kelly, the political actor, is anyone to be enamored with. I'm not sure they were actually hip to that fact.
Yeah, but doesn't that say something about journalists that don't know?
You know what? They probably should have asked. I'll say this, they should have asked. But the fact of the matter, they didn't, because for various reasons, I think a mistake was made, okay? I think there's patterns of mistakes at that editorial page that I think are mounting. I trust someone like Stephen Henderson, who I actually have a lot of admiration for, to nip these problems in the bud. Because this isn't the first time this kind of thing has happened. I think it's the first time it bubbled maybe to the surface that I can remember. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were duped by the specter of Mr. Kelly's status as a former attorney general.
All right, let's turn our attentions now to one soon-to-be former congressman from Michigan's 11th congressional district, Republican and failed presidential candidate Thaddeus McCotter. Joe, I don't know that I've laughed this hard in a very long time.
Well, I laughed. I'll be honest. I laughed real hard, just like you. But there's also, oddly enough, I think an element of pity I feel for this guy. I know that pity doesn't extend from you, but I just see someone who's lost. And folks should know that after his presidential campaign crashed and burned, I can't even say presidential campaign and McCotter in the same sentence without smirking. After it crashed and burned, he wrote a pilot episode of a Thad McCotter variety show that it's almost like a bizarre Monty Python-esque.
That's exactly what I thought.
Well, I think, you know, those great minds, man. Great minds it was just a bizarre thing where, like, you know, his real staffers appeared in the show. He had sent this to the Breitbart people, some folks in Hollywood, to see if that he could be the host of this show. And there was some weird sexual stuff in there with the MSNBC, now MSNBC, personality S.E. Cup, where, you know, he made the sophomoric joke of referring to her as, like, double D cup or something. You know, I'm all for big boob jokes, but that's the low-hanging fruit of big boob jokes.
Yeah.
That's a real easy one to make, and it just didn't show any real wit for someone who's supposed to have a dry sense of humor. It really didn't translate to the written page very well, as best I can tell. And, you know, I got to say, I don't think this story is going to end very well.
No, I don't think it will either. In fact, I went in to tell Jeff, and he said, I sent it to you yesterday. Well, I'd gotten it so many different times, I forgot who sent it to me. People couldn't wait. Of course, I guess I will forever, in some weird way, be attached to Thad McCotter. I don't know why. I can't. I mean, I lost. I'm over it. Everybody else should get over it, too. But it seems every time Thad McCotter does something, dozens of people will send me, and I got this story as soon as it broke, I don't know, at least 14 or 15 times yesterday early afternoon. And why not? Because it is bizarre political theater at its best. And, of course, if you work for this guy, man, oh, man, he took swipes at everybody.
Well, he took swipes at everyone. And I'm very sympathetic to the people who work for his office. You know, they thought they had a job in the future. And I feel for anyone who loses a job. And these folks are going to lose a job. And it's unfortunate. And I don't think this story ends very well. Because, I mean, before yesterday, I would have said, okay, this story is as weird as it can get. Now, with the TV script, it's even weirder. And I just see a sad end to this. I mean, I go so far as to say, there have been legislators in politics who've been booted for office who frankly have killed themselves, and I'm worried about Thad McCotter's stability here.
Well, I do concern.
And he's got kids.
No, and he does, and he has a wonderful wife. I actually met her. She's a nurse, nice lady. I've never met his children, but yeah, no, I would be very concerned. Once he is, you know, he hasn't actually had to be home for a long time now, Joe.
That's right. He's going to have to go hustle, ply his trade as an attorney. That's going to be humbling because you're on this cloud when you're a congressman where, you know, 9 out of 10 people you meet treat you as if you're a demigod of sorts. And now he's just going to be a normal schlub. It's going to be like at the end of Goodfellas. You know, he's not a mobster anymore. He's just a regular guy.
Well, you know, you do wonder, because Thad McCotter kind of has a recluse's personality if he just kind of fades away. I mean, he'll end up with a nice pension. He lives in a, I'm sure he lives in a nice home in Livonia. I know he does, in fact. I knocked doors in his neighborhood when I ran for Congress. So I happen to know where he lives. I mean, but, you know, there's nothing to say that, you know, the house isn't paid for. And, you know, maybe between his pension and what his wife makes, he doesn't necessarily have to work. But his ego, Joe, is so hard to describe.
That's going to be far more damaging to him than any short-term money troubles, because he's not a dumb man.
No.
He'll find a way to make a living if he... if he can humble himself to, you know, to grovel for a paycheck like the rest of us.
Well, and he's been a public servant a long time. It's not just his time at the federal level. He spent a lot of time at state level. So
he was in the state senate for years, and before that he was a Wayne County commissioner, which is a full time gig. He's only in his mid to late 40s, so this is someone who, in his entire post law school life, has been really on the public payroll. And I think your point about his ego is going to, that's going to be far more painful than the financial shortcomings.
Well, it's this story, which is easy enough to find, the Detroit News, the Detroit Free Press, MLive, everybody has it. Everywhere you look, it's out there. Read it. It's very funny political theater, and it is very funny political theater. There's no, well, funny in not in a ha-ha way, in a oh-my-God way.
I hope this is the last part of the story. I mean, I really do.
But it can't be, Joe. It can't be. This whole thing of flying to New York to be on Fox when he didn't need to fly to New York to be on Fox. Now, that's the part I don't get. There are remote studios. I've been on Fox. I've gone to a remote studio. It's not like he had to do that. I mean, what's that about?
Well, I think that's someone who is bored with his place in Congress but still still lusted after the spotlight. I think that's what it is. And real public servants will do the work of the people without seeking out that kind of gratuitous attention.
It's interesting. We talk on our show a lot about the two. In fact, we have we kind of picked on one of them today. Alan West from Florida is just a real bizarre character. And what, Jeff? What's the guy's name we picked on today? He's in the Joe Walsh from Illinois. These are
not the member of the James Gang.
No, but these are definitely not. These are two guys, two Republicans, Joe, that go out of their way to say, "Hey, look at me, notice me. I'm going to say something so bizarre that you have to report it." And you know what? They're good at it because we report it. It's sad. It's really sad. And
those two Congress members you talk about are pathological. In their attention seeking. I think it's very different from Thad McCotter, because Thad McCotter, the two folks you mentioned are so brash and in your face, and that's not Thad's, that's not his way.
Yeah, Joe, we're up against the break, so I'm going to have to let you go. It goes by fast, doesn't it? We'll talk again next Friday. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay where you're at.
With Tony Trippiano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
I'm Marge Faville, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council.
when the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before the top, we got to get ready to wrap things up on this Friday. Jeff and I will be coming back at noon, or actually before noon, to sit in for Ed Schultz again today, and looking forward to that. Jeff, I meant to tell you this morning, Jillian sent me a note yesterday, she asked me to connect with her on LinkedIn, which I don't believe you're on, right?
No, I don't know anything about LinkedIn.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of odd that I heard from her out of the blue like that yesterday. Not that I'm complaining.
No, of course not.
Very, very nice young lady. She does some of our voice work on the show. She used to work here. She's now moved on to another radio group, if you will. And anyway, I just thought I'd mention that to you, buddy, because I forgot to mention it this morning. She was a ray of sunshine to have around, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's like I'm fighting you on this one.
No, I'm glad she got in touch. You haven't seen her since she left.
No, nor have I. And we'll leave it there. We'll definitely leave it there. What do you got going on this weekend?
Not a whole lot, actually. It didn't rain Wednesday night like I was praying, so.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Because if it rained Wednesday, they would have postponed the fireworks to this weekend, and then I could go watch, 4th of July fireworks.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'm off to Wyandotte tomorrow for a few hours. And
that sounds like fun.
It will be fun. I have lots to do, though, especially domestically. I've got some stuff to get done around the house. And so I'm going to do that. And then I made the decision yesterday, although I need to look at a calendar and look at a couple things. But I made a decision yesterday that we should take some time off this summer. So we're going to do that after the primary, which is August 7th. And then we're going to be headed off to the Democratic National Convention at Labor Day, which is literally the day after Labor Day. So we've got a lot going on. We've got the AFT conference coming to Detroit that we're going to be at. So there's just a lot going on. I think it behooves us to get a little time off. I'm hoping that you're actually going to take some time off, right? There would be no reason for you to have to work, right? Right?
Yeah, right.
Right, okay. So I want you to take some time off, and we're going to do that. And this way we all get time off, and that's important to me. So, anyway, I'll look at the calendar and let you know this weekend what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. And probably literally right after the primary, which is going to be on a Tuesday. So that probably that following week, unless I look at my calendar and it says, no, you don't. We do want to be on the air for the Republican National Convention, but that's literally the week before the Democratic National Convention. And the people that I booked my credentials, because I had to get credentials for both Anth and I to go to the Democratic National Convention, they're the same people that are doing credentials for the Republican National Convention. And Jeff, I felt so bad for this woman that I had to deal with, because she just was having such a hard time keeping everything straight. And understandably, I mean, can you imagine all the press that wants to come goes through one person? One person.
Sounds like a tea party thing.
Yeah, no, it's
something to save money.
No, I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, but you know, she got me confused with somebody else, and she was sending me a bunch of information. So one Sunday afternoon, it was either last Sunday or the Sunday before, my phone rings, and it was a 202 number, which is Washington D.C. Well, that's odd. I wonder who that could be. So I normally don't answer a phone if I don't recognize the number. So I said, hello. And she goes, hey, this is so-and-so. And I owe you an apology. Why is that? Because I sent you really bad information. You need to ignore everything I sent you, because I was telling you what was going on in Tampa, which is where the Republican convention is, and that's not what you wanted to know, is it? No, it is not. So, and we got it all worked out.
I'm trying to figure out who the equivalent of you on the other side could be, like who they would have screwed you up for. Like, who is the bizarro world Tony that would be a Republican?
Well, I don't think it was literally a bizarro world Tony. I just think that it was probably somebody named Tony, and she thought that, you know, it was me or wasn't me, whatever. But she was very apologetic, and come to find out that she's actually a Democrat and is going to prefer the Charlotte convention. And anyway, as a result of that screw up, she's giving me preferential treatment that I shouldn't have, and I'm going to take it. Well, you know, she said, I'll show you where all the free parking is, yada, yada, yada. She did tell me that we should probably rent a car. Because of the time of morning we do our show, it's going to be next to impossible to get a shuttle, which makes sense. It really does make sense. So, but we'll worry about that later. Anyway, so, yes, tomorrow I'm in Wyandotte, and then tomorrow as well, I'm going to try to get the grass cut, because there's another project I want to get done Sunday. The weekends go by so fast. They really do. And then before you know it, it's Monday again, and then the weeks go by fast. I'm blown away by how quickly everything happens around here. It is crazy. And I again want to apologize for those of you that tuned in or tried to tune into the show yesterday. If you were online, you had no problem. You heard everything just fine. If you weren't online, if you were listening to the actual station or not listening to the actual station, you didn't hear anything. Our transmitter was struck by lightning in yesterday morning storms and knocked us off air for a while. I don't know why, Jeff. I can't get an apology. Did you notice I didn't get one?
I didn't hear one. You're right.
No, you were with me both times that could have happened. And neither time, I mean, I said something both times that could have happened, and, you know, excuses were made, but no one ever said, hey, Tony, sorry that happened this morning. The worst part is, we had to find out from you folks that were trying to listen, that were calling us and saying, hey, why aren't you on the air? That's how we found out. It's just not the way we do things. They must be Republicans, Jeff, that's it.
It's a tea party thing.
It's a tea party thing, absolutely. There are a lot of people here today. I don't like that. You know, we got our good little thing going here. I don't like there, you know, a lot of people in the building.
It's about the kids.
It is about the kids. It truly is. Christine Berry thought that was your inner Dennis Miller coming out.
What, man, having Governor Snyder drops?
And just, you know, all the audio you were playing this morning. I'm not quite sure what the reference meant, but that's what she said. Jeff's inner Dennis Miller's coming out. So maybe I can't imagine she listens. He does a radio show, by the way. I can't imagine she listens to the show, because he's pretty hardcore conservative. He is, disgustingly so. And it's funny to listen to him. You got to go online and listen to his show at some point, Jeff. because he is so, how do I put this? I don't know. It's like there's this incredulousness to everything he says. Can you believe? No, seriously, stop and think about Obama for a minute. Can you believe? Yeah, I can believe.
Not only is he a crappy radio host, Monday Night Football.
Oh!
Booth analyzer or whatever they had him doing.
Yeah, he was really bad. He was really bad. All right, we gotta get out of here. Jeff, thanks so much for your help this week. We'll see you for the Ed Schultz Show at noon. Anthony will be back on Monday, or that's the rumor anyway. It's my son, so until he shows up, we'll find out. In the meantime, if you need me, I'm at tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, we got a major problem over on M14 in both directions between Barton Shore Drive and US 23, where that road is blocked due to an overturned vehicle. Also, US 23 southbound and M14, that ramp to M14 westbound is closed due to that overturned vehicle. That's also causing stop traffic on US 23 southbound between 6 Mile and North Territory. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 98. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 78. Tomorrow, scattered storms and a high of 96. Right now, it is clear skies and 78. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit.